following bid number 489 is 489.
Dear, most wonderful, gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time very thankful for another day in this world that you've given us, another day that we might be about your work and shining your light throughout the world. Lord, please be with us as we are about that work. Please continue to strengthen us through your word. Allow us to have time to come together with our brethren like we have tonight to learn more from your son Jesus, from his time on this earth, and from all of his disciples who've written about your word. Lord, we're so very thankful for the time that you've blessed us with tonight, that we might come together, and for the health that you've given us, for us to meet like this. We're thankful for the lack of persecution that we have, that we might come together freely and without fear, that we might boldly proclaim your word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that all the things that we do tonight be pleasing in your sight, that this worship is offered in the right manner to you, that we might be an encouragement to one another to stay steady on this course that we've chosen to take in our life. And Lord, we're so very thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he's made for us, that we might have a hope of home in heaven with you one day. Help us remember that we must still need to respond to you and to bend to your every will. Please give us strength to stay away from sins and cares of this world. Please forgive us of when we fail to uphold that strength and when we might sin, and we ask that you forgive us of our sins. Please be with us regularly and keep us in the forefront, keep you in the forefront of our minds. Lord, please be with the speaker and the message that he brings tonight. Please help it to be edifying to us and provide encouragement and more knowledge. Lord, we ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
In December of 2012, during a cross-country race, Kenyan runner Abel Mutai was only a few meters from the finish line. But he got confused with the signs, and he stopped, thinking he had finished the race, but he hadn't yet. A Spanish man, also running in the race, Ivan Fernandez, was right behind him, and realizing what was going on, started shouting to the Kenyan to keep going. And Mute didn't know Spanish and did not understand what he was supposed to do. Realizing what was going on, Fernandez pushed Mute to victory. A reporter asked Fernandez, "Why did you do this?" He replied, "My dream is that one day we can have some sort of community life where we push ourselves and also others to win." The reporter insisted, "But why did you let the Kenyan win?" Ivan replied, I didn't let him win. He was going to win. The race was his." The reporter insisted and asked again, "But you could have won." Ivan looked at him and replied, "But what would be the merit of my victory? What would be the honor of this medal? What would my mother think of it?" The article that was conveyed that story says, "Values are transmitted from generation to generation. What values do we teach our children, and how much do you inspire others to earn? It is more common to take advantage of people's weaknesses instead of helping to strengthen them." Fernandez was later quoted as saying, because people followed up on this, he quoted and says, "But I also think that I have earned more of a name having done what I did than if I had won the race. And that is very important, because today, with the way things are in all circles, and soccer, and society, and politics, where it seems anything goes, a gesture of honesty goes down well. You know, and this article was written purely for the social encouragement to do good. There's no mention of God in there, and there's no spiritual principles that are there. But, well, I certainly read the spiritual principles when about that, and whether the man knew it or not, he certainly did a godly act. I wish he understood more. Maybe he does, he just didn't say it, but he could have taken the opportunity to give God the glory for why he decided to do what he did. But if he didn't know, I'm sorry about that, because he's maybe not far from the kingdom, as Jesus might say, to understand how to act this way. But this article was written for social encouragement for us to do good and to care about other people and be honest in our dealings with things. But the principles, as you can hear in the way I'm describing that right now, are very spiritual, aren't they? They're rooted in the doctrine of Jesus as he taught. First of all, service to one another is commanded. This kind of affection, this kind of concern for somebody else, and just like we talked about tonight, with mercy and care and compassion for somebody else should override our thinking about whatever we might gain from it and help somebody out. Jesus commanded his disciples to be generous and to be serving just like this. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons." He's just given the disciples great power to do these things that they had no ability to do before. Now they would be able to go out and do marvelous things, and he tells them, use it for those purposes, to help the sick and the dead and those who have leprosy and to drive out demons. And he says, freely you have received, freely give. So he expected his disciples to use these powers for the good of others, to use them for them to understand the gospel and that what they were teaching about Jesus was true as evidence of those things, but to freely give out these good things that they could now do. Not hold back, but be generous with it, serving other people's needs along the way. So service was commanded and expected by Jesus. Service is supposed to come out of compassion. Our Lord and Savior often acted because he had compassion on those who were before him. Think about who he was. He was God on earth. Is anybody more important when he's walking around? And yet, our Lord and Savior looked at other people and their circumstances, with their needs. Even one time when they looked like sheep with no shepherd, they were just lost and didn't know how to think. And he had compassion on them. Matthew chapter 9, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 20, each one of those cases had incidences where he looked upon everyday regular people, some trying to follow him, some just going about their lives. And it says Jesus was moved with compassion for them, for his creation, right? The Creator looked at his creation and had compassion and wanted to help them. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter 3 in verse 8, Peter said, "Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." You know, serving each other, seeking out the good of other people. Service is out of compassion, and we are simply following the example of Jesus as he worked with people and served and helped people. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And we don't have that quote in the Gospels, but Paul knew who Jesus was, and Paul interacted with Jesus personally. And Jesus said, because Paul told us he did, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. I remember being a fairly young man and a preacher at Lawrenceville, where we were, He's fallen away from the faith, but once in a while he just really had some good things to say. And I remember him talking about that passage one time. He says, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive, but it's also a blessing to be able to be in a position to be able to give rather than needing to receive. And so it's such an opportunity for us to serve one another when we have the ability to give. So holding those things back, being stingy with it, or being unaware, choosing to be unaware, is not having the compassionate spirit of service that even Jesus showed and exemplified for us in person in a perfect way. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is wonderful to be in a position to be able to give rather than having a need that has to be fulfilled. But when we have the ability, it is a blessing to be able to give to other people and share with them. We do that with each other here. Think about somebody who is truly in need when something comes up. It feels good to do it, and it is very helpful when that person's in need and needs help along the way. And finally, thirdly, that I'll speak of tonight, service is also rewarded. It's commanded by God. It is, we're told why to have it, how to have it, out of compassion. And then we're promised to be rewarded by it, both immediately and on the account with God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Now that was a very active thing they were doing, that they had ministered to saints and they were continuing to minister. And it says God does not forget that. He is faithful to remember and recall the mercy and the service that you show. And when you minister to brethren and do your work and labor of love, which you do in his name, he remembers that. And he rewards such work. He builds us up and blesses us for those things. Jesus promised that himself in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 34 through 40. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. "Then the king shall say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' And then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?'" And you can just imagine the righteous thinking, "Wish I'd had that opportunity. Because I know those things happened to Jesus. I wish I could have done that. When did I do that for you, Lord? I would have loved to have known that I had done that." And Jesus said, "And the king answered and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" So service is rewarded. And our service will not play out directly to the Lord. In these cases, he doesn't have those kinds of needs. He's no longer in the physical realm where he might need that. But when we do it to even the least of his brethren, we do it to his children, his creation, we do it to him. And we can receive great reward. What a wonderful, beautiful promise that is. That we don't have to be there in that short time period and miss that small window when Jesus was here on the earth and we could have washed his feet or given him some food or helped him on his way. We do it to the least of our brethren. We do it to those around about us. Take care of our neighbor, as we read a few moments ago. We have done it to Jesus. We have done what the Lord wants. And we will be rewarded for that. And I believe this, what we saw in the other passages there, it's great reward just to do it, and the feeling and the knowledge, the confidence that we have that we've done what God asked us to do is a reward in and of itself. But Jesus tells us that there's an eternal reward for such because we have done it also to him. I didn't look up this particular passage for tonight, but it's in 1 John. No, I'm 3 John, I believe. And he tells them that the brethren there were expected to help brethren who were passing through on their way, even if they didn't know them, if they were about the same business, to help them on their way. And he told them, you're really expected to do that. Not just I hope you will, you're supposed to do it because that's part of our service. So we're back to the commandment again. We're commanded to show compassion that comes with great reward. So tonight, I thought I'd just talk about that a little bit, and I love that story that I found there, even though it was from a worldly perspective to start with. It showed those godly principles of not trying to personally win every race, but taking the opportunity to help someone else and being honest with our performance and our ability. When that man had won the race, he just didn't know where the finish line actually was, and rather than take it away from him, he had a spirit to help him across the line and let him win that medal that he had truly earned. Well, you know, if we have that spirit of service and mercy and kindness and compassion toward other people, then we are exemplifying godly traits that we saw Jesus show and teach. And if we just simply think about the race that we run on a daily basis spiritually, then do we think we know where all the finish lines are? Do we know every turn to make, every corner, you know, how to stay in the straight and the narrow? No, not by ourselves. We run with God, and we follow Him, we run beside Him, and He carries us and lifts us along the way. And that's the benefit of a spiritual life with God, is that we don't do any of these things alone. We do have the help of Jesus, and He is a merciful, compassionate Lord who still looks on us and is moved with compassion for the needs that we have. Our greatest need is that we have forgiveness of our sins, and that's the great mercy that He has for us, that He hasn't already destroyed us for our sin, but gives us opportunity to respond to Him and correct and fix those things in our lives, that His mercy might extend all the way to salvation. Tonight, that is a message that is afforded to each one of us, that if we need the mercy of God, we'll recognize it. We all do. But if we recognize how much we need it, and we want to respond to try to make those corrections and enjoy the reward of the mercy that God has for us, then you know we have that opportunity tonight to have brethren pray for us, for us to show compassion and service to you. You will make us feel good because we will be able to help you, but we want to fill up what is needful in your life, and these are opportunities for all of us to share tonight. If you're responsible for the gospel and you know that you need to make correction in your life, please let that be known so that we can pray for you, help you, and help you get across that finish line, which is where we're all wanting to head. If you're ready to come forward and respond to the gospel, please do so as we sing to encourage you.
It's the grandest thing for nature, cross is the grandest thing for a mortal song. It's the grandest thing that the world has sung. Our God is faithful to deliver thee.
Thank you.
setting up, and we'll be led in our closing prayer. We do this now.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time and the close of our worship to you. Especially grateful that you are our King, our Father, and no one can compare to you. Thank you for all you give us, our jobs and homes, our physical things that help us enjoy life here, also the spiritual blessings of your grace, mercy, and love, and for salvation through Jesus. Please continue to be with those who we regularly pray for those who aren't with us today. For those who have troubled minds and hearts, please help them find the peace of mind that comes from serving you. Please be with those who are sick and help them to get back to better portions of their health. Be with us as we leave tonight and keep us safe and healthy, if that is your desire. Because we know it's by your will that we live or do anything. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Oh, okay.